Shagar, we are talking specifically about left wingers today. And so we were looking some top end guys were like Tatar and Hyman and Schwartz and Coleman, maybe Brandon Saad. Starting was looking at bottom six guys like Janmark, potentially Barkley Goodrow. So you look at, you know, Ken Holland said, hey, top priority is to get some scoring depth for sure. And we're assuming Nugent Hopkins is testing the free agent market. So if he's testing the free agent market, that there's really that leaves three open left wing spots. Because you got James Neal's probably getting bought out. You got Nugent Hopkins. You know, Dominic Cahoon, I think Dominic Cahoon is what he is. He's not a top six forward in my eyes. So who are guys, like, who would be your priority number one left winger for the Oilers?
Oh, well, you should have given me my homework ahead of time. I would have had my my essay ready to go. I mean, and you're saying, sorry, and repeat back to me what you said about Nugent Hopkins and testing the market.
We're assuming that he's not here, right,
you're,
for fun
you're
of,
making
the, of
that
the process.
Assumption.
Yes, we're assuming. So there's like, because the left wingers are out, and I'm assuming Taylor Hall is not in, just to clarify that. And Landeskog is going to re-sign in Colorado. So, you know, the big names are Tatar and Hyman and Schwartz and Saad and Coleman for
Saad
offensive
is,
guys.
I was taking a bit of a look at this the other day. Like, Saad is interesting because he gives them something that they don't necessarily have with, you know, the other guys that they've used there, which is a bigger body, plays the game a little bit heavier. So, you know, and he's got a track record of scoring some goals and, you know, he's been around winning situations before. So there's definitely, that would be intriguing for me, I think. Schwartz is kind of more another smaller type player. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily the right fit. I mean, Saad is reasonably far up that list, I would say. I would probably start somewhere in that range. You've mentioned Tatar a lot. Did a little digging on him the other day. And, definitely a guy that has a history of being able to score some goals. I don't know, not sure, you know, at 30 with the foot speed, how that's going to look. You know, speed is a bit of an issue, and I think you want guys that can skate. So, I don't know. Like, who's getting the most juice in the conversations you're having?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'll start at the beginning where I was with this, with Gregor. I right now, I don't see anyone on the Oilers that played on the left wing. They can play in those top two spots. And again, we're assuming for the purpose of this conversation, Nugent Hopkins is going to test free agency. So we had Cahoon, Nygaard, Ennis, Neal. We had, you know, some guys tried out on the left side. But, you know, are all those guys going to be back? Nygaard, no. You know, Ennis, who knows? Cahoon, you can sign him. But does he get pushed further down? So I think you got to find three left wingers. And I'm not going to put Dylan Holloway in there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep a spot, maybe re-sign Cahoon to play on that fourth line, and the reason is that you hope Holloway punches in, you know, in the new year sometime, right?
Right.
So you
got to
find three.
Shore? Where do you have Shore on the fourth line?
So sorry, I do also have Shore. So Shore would be like my, he's like my 13th forward. Shore or Haas. I do like those two guys because you know them and they know the, you know, something Tippett said. I think he knows the, you kind of know them with some familiarity, I think is what he said, or some continuity. I think that was Ken Holland. So I'm looking at three top left wingers. So I like Janmark last summer. I like him still. He kills penalties. He's pretty good size at 6'1". He can play maybe in your third spot. You know, Barkley Goodrow. Then after that, you know, you got to find someone to play up there in those top two lines. You know, Blake Coleman. I want someone that can play that has some experience in big games. Not that they need to tell Leon and Connor what to do, but you can put them out there in a situation like we saw in Game 3 when they get scored in the power play, then goal, goal, goal. Like, how do you calm them down, right? And so that I want someone who has either won a Stanley Cup or been on a really good team for a long time. So everyone we went through, except for Tatar, fits that bill.
Except for Tatar, you're saying, doesn't fit that bill?
Well, I mean, I don't remember him really being on a real winning team. You know what I mean? Like, and again, it's not that I need James Schwartz to lean over and say, hey, Connor, this is how you do it. Just the calmness of being through it. You know, you've been through a stressful situation. The next time it's not as stressful. You know, so
I mean,
so,
Blake Coleman's got to be pretty high up there too, though, right? You know, I mean, looking at the guys who play the position and their production level this year and where they were at, I mean, he's up, you know, Janmark, Coleman are two. They were plus 10 goal guys. I think you want speed, and I don't know that you want, I don't think you want to go small speed. I mean, if you're going to keep Yamamoto in the fray, it just feels like you need guys that, unless they're absolute burners or just super high-end skill, that a little bit of size would be good. So what's your sense on Saad, Stretti?
Yeah, I like Saad. I mean, to me, Saad is a bigger body, but so this is kind of the group. I got Coleman, Saad, so this is for a little bit higher up the lineup, obviously, in the guy's eye. Coleman, Saad, Tatar, I think Hoffman's in that. Hoffman is more of a specialist. Hyman, I honestly, Greg, I told you, I don't know why he leaves Toronto. I'm sorry, I don't think you have to offer him so much more money to leave there. You might be right, but I just think that he's going to stay.
Yeah, see, the reason is, Stretti, you got to remember, they're going to have to pay him top value to stay, because he signed that 4-year deal the last time, and I don't think he was in love with signing that 4-year, because they got a bargain for 2.25 for 4 years, right? So, you know, hometown thing is one thing, great, but, you know, hey, I get it. If he leaves, he'll want to go to a competitive team, because they're pretty competitive in Toronto. That's fair. So he would look and say, okay, I'm leaving Marner and Matthews, but I'm coming here and I'm going to play with McDavid or Draisaitl, right, because they're on separate lines. So I think Zach Hyman, because what he does, he's a relentless forechecker. He's a good puck retriever, which is what McDavid and Draisaitl, I think, thrive. You get a guy who can get into the puck even more, that's even better.
Yeah.
And he can kill penalties. Right? And he doesn't have to be on your power play. He doesn't have to be a main power play guy, right? So, because Nugent Hopkins was doing both, and I don't think that was ideal, to be honest.
Well, Hyman is right at the top of the list. And he shoots right, but he plays that left wing. So he's right at the top of the list, the guy that can, you know, produce goals, plays the right way, plays the way that will complement and fit with those guys really well. The thing about Nugent Hopkins that I think is underrated is, with most of these names, it's a downgrade in skill, and I'm talking about puck skill.
Well, I disagree. Thomas Tatar, and Hyman maybe, but Thomas Tatar, man, he over a 3-year period had the 50th most points 5-on-5 without an elite center. Like, I think Thomas Tatar's puck skills are better than Nuge.
Okay, but I was talking more, so maybe set Tatar aside. But the number of times that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the power play on that left side uses his hands to keep plays alive and to continue that power play going. Like, if you downgrade the skill in that spot, they're going to be fishing out of their own end way more often. Like, he touches it almost every single time it's in that offensive zone, and often he's the one that has to settle things down and make the play back to the point. And, you know, he's just very, very sure-handed on the power play. And I think, and I don't think they have anybody else. Like, Puljujarvi's not, you know, going to be that guy. Yamamoto's not going to be that guy. I think I would hesitate to downgrade the overall skill level with the puck, if you don't have to. But Hyman, to me, is plays the game in a way 5-on-5 that is a really good fit with those guys. But, you know, he's from out there, right? So, you know, we'll see what they do in the playoffs. We'll see what kind of run they go on. We'll see where his head and heart is at. But I think the overwhelming sentiment is that he, you know, likely would want to stay out there if at all possible. But market value, right? Nugent Hopkins wants to stay here. But if the number's not there, then he'll move on. It's probably similar for Hyman in Toronto. So he would be right at the top of the list, I would think.
Well, what's your top money for Hyman, guys? I'm putting you on the spot here, but...
Well, it's free agency, right? So, I mean, I don't know. If you don't have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and you... Like I said this yesterday, if the Oilers lose Nugent-Hopkins and they hit free agency without him, you're hitting free agency pretty somewhat desperate, aren't you? So aren't you basically bound to overspend? Because you can't have Nugent-Hopkins walk and not be standing there going, well, yeah, but look what we got. Look, everyone, look what we got. Well, in order to guarantee that, you're probably going to have to overpay. So is there $6 million on the table out there somewhere for Hyman from somebody with the way he plays the game? I mean, in free agency, probably. So, you know, 5.5 to 6+ is probably going to be out there for him. Well, that's right in Nugent Hopkins territory as well. So if you've lost Nugent Hopkins and you've got a chance to get Hyman with the cap space that they have, I mean, yeah, you'd have to go to 6, I would think, to be able to get him, wouldn't you?
Hyman, there's no way I'm paying Hyman $6 million. That's where I gotta get off the train.
I would agree with that.
So listen, is it better to have?
You don't want to pay Nugent Hopkins $6 million. You don't want to pay Hyman $6 million. So what are you guys doing on the left side next to your superstar player?
I'm paying Thomas Tatar. Tatar is my Tyson Berry of forwards. I'm signing him for a 1-year deal at $4 million. And guess what? That allows me, that gives me an extra year where I don't have to rush the young guy in Dylan Holloway, who we think is going to be good in the future. And then, you know what? If I have to acquire someone at the trade deadline, bingo bango. But to me, Thomas Tatar at $4 million, Blake Coleman, I would go Blake Coleman at like 3.75 to $4 million. I'd have no problem with that.
Yeah. Well, a combination of Tatar and Coleman, you've taken a couple of guys and you can fill the spots with them, but can you make sure you can go get both of those guys?
Well, I think this is the thing that I think we're all agreeing as we're joined by Brian Rashad. You got to fill three spots on the left side, and assuming that everyone you have is going to be moved out. And you have to remember, at some point, Dylan Holloway's coming, right? So is it better to have a combination of, you know, three guys? I'm all in on Janmark at three. At the third spot. And then you got to find two. And now I don't think he's going to be a huge contract. Then you got to find the other two guys to fit in there. So you have three guys, and the left side is immediately stronger. I recognize the Nuge deal, but you think about who is playing with Cahoon on the Cahoon is a lot of times on the first line. And then the third winger sometimes had Archibald on the left side, so it made the right side weaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder about like a Saad and Coleman combo.
Sure.
You know, I think those are the types of players that they play the game in a way that I think changed the dynamic on those lines a little bit from what they've had. And I think if they can do that, just watch it in the playoffs. And, you know, I just think if you can get a guy, a big guy with some experience and who has scored some goals and has some skill, then I think that's really meaningful for you. So, I mean, Hyman, I think, is high on the list, but What's he going to get out there? What's somebody going to be willing to pay him? And I just think in free agency, I guess it depends. What do you want? You want to win? You want the money? What do you want? No. I feel like that money will be out there for him, don't you? I mean,
yeah, I think,
so, and
I think,
just the same that six and probably six and a little bit would be out there for RNH as well.
See, I don't see that one. I know. I've talked to a few. I don't sense that. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I don't.
Yeah, I would guess there'll be $6 million in free agency for Nugent Hopkins somewhere. I'd be fairly confident, but maybe I'm wrong.
What do you have him as? A first line center? What would you put him as, Shocker? In that situation?
Teams are willing to pay for centers, you know, though he's played a lot of wing lately, he would still be viewed as a guy that could be a winger or your two center. You know, and I think teams are willing to pay for centers, right? When you're looking to bring in a high-skill center with a pedigree, and a lot of people look at Nugent Hopkins and they would just feel like, you know what, he had an off year for sure, but look at the overall body of work. And I think they would feel like that's a player that could you know, come in and play that position for them, all three phases, all those things. I think that'll be out there for him. Now, is it going to be out there for him on a winning team? You know, that's the question, right? You know, does a team like Anaheim, you know, Dallas Eakins, we know, is a huge fan of Ryan Nugent Hopkins. You know, what's Seattle going to be looking for? So I wouldn't be surprised if that money were out there for him as a center/winger.
We shall see. It'll be fun, Shocker. Have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, next time, send me my assignment early and I'll be more prepared.
All right, I will.
All right, please.